David May is a research manager. He's a senior research analyst. He joins us this morning from Washington. David, a very good morning to you all. Good evening to you. How are you?
Good. Good morning and good evening to you.
So it is obviously something that is, it's probably a lot more important to South Africa than it is to Washington. Or is that just an assumption? You know, is it important for Donald Trump? Is it important for Washington to find a mutually beneficial way forward with South Africa?
South Africa in the United States, it's a peripheral issue, so it's definitely not going to command a center of attention from the U.S. president. It's a lot more central to South Africa, especially just the implications of the downturn in relations between Washington and Pretoria. But I think ultimately President Ramaphosa is misguided if he thinks that he can just explain his way out of the current impasse. The current South African government has grown closer to China and Russia. Its moves against a U.S. ally in Israel at the ICJ have put them on opposite sides of the political spectrum. And so if they think they can just, you know, explain away and say nice things to the U.S. president, I think he's badly mistaken.
Well, one of the concerns is that as much as we value very highly freedom of speech and a free press here in South Africa, the reality is that the president very rarely answers questions that the press put to him. And in fact, they very rarely put anything challenging to him. So I think he's kind of used to charming his way through many of these discussions. Also, South Africans, I think, want to believe him and wanted him to succeed. He's going to obviously find a very, very different environment there. The question is, you know, on all of these issues, there's no chance that Ramaphosa is going to say, yes, okay, I agree, we shouldn't have expropriation without compensation. Yes, I accept that there shouldn't be employment equity that are racially based. It's not going to happen. And surely, I would imagine that Washington knows that just as much. So how does this result in anything positive?
I think President Ramaphosa's only chance of success is not to swim against the storm in terms of U.S. relations with South Africa, but rather to try to offer some type of economic incentive, see if he can transform the relationship into something a little more transactional. But I doubt that he'll be able to offer anything of any kind of lucrative nature that would compare at all to what President Trump was able to secure in his recent trip to the Gulf in the Middle East. So if he thinks that he's going to be able to offer some type of incentive to mollify the relationship, I think he's also mistaken on that front.
So then how does this proceed in a positive way?
I don't think it will. I think that he's set himself up for failure just in terms of the policies that his government has taken, in terms of the corruption within the ANC and the attempt to distract from its failures by launching a diplomatic assault on Israel. But I think even more so just the fact that South Africa has grown closer to China with joint military drills, with its elevated status in the Chinese-led BRICS economic forum. And so he is set himself up for failure, and his best hope is just to kind of reset relations to where they were at the beginning of the second Trump term.
Somebody put to me a theory that, in fact, Ramaphosa himself doesn't think that this is going to go well, but it's more about showcasing to South Africa that he went all the way there, he tried his best, and you see the Americans just don't understand the realities on the ground here in South Africa. What's your thoughts on that?
That seems to be a very plausible explanation for this trip that he's undertaken, and it coincides with foreign policy that South Africa has been going through that has not been in the best interest of the country. And so this idea that rather than actually securing any tangible benefits for the country, but the fact that he went and spoke truth to power, that might be appealing to some, but ultimately it's window dressing for failed policies back at home.
Mm. How important is the ICJ case? You've referred to it twice in this conversation. Is that central to this discussion?
I think to a certain degree, it put South Africa on the radar in the United States and not in a good way. And so when South Africa, when its government has aligned itself with the terrorist group Hamas and with Iran and other bad actors, it's put itself in a bad situation. And in terms of the domestic support in the United States for policies related to Israel, it will put them on the diametrical opposite spectrum from President Trump. So he's situated himself, President Ramaphosa has, in a way that will make any type of amelioration of relations with the United States practically impossible.
Bernard, one of our listeners saying, don't forget about the street name change that became a discussion. And of course, we know that was about the United States as well, to change the name of Sandton Drive to Leila Khalid Drive because the U.S. Embassy is situated there. And that, of course, is a very, very unnecessary and antagonistic idea, obviously just designed to annoy the United States. The question, of course, about Elon Musk is, do we know if he is going to be in attendance at these meetings?
I mean, it's been discussed, certainly, but just back to the issue of the U.S. consulate, mm-hmm. I believe that President Ramaphosa has tried to put the brakes on that motion a little bit. But ultimately, his party, members of his own party, are pushing it forward. And so it would be deeply embarrassing for the United States to have its letterhead to read Leila Khalid Drive, a terrorist who gained notoriety for hijacking airplanes. So it's just another instance of unnecessary animosity and unforced errors on the part of the South African government.
Can we expect all of those things to come up, including the South African ambassador, Rasool, whose comments around Trump were completely undiplomatic and unacceptable? Can we expect the air to be cleared around all of these things, or in this type of meeting, does it just not happen?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what will be discussed behind closed doors, but Rasool's tenure as the ambassador of the United States was certainly problematic, and maybe you have better insight as to his successor, who is the chairman of MTN, which has some pretty questionable ties to Iran, a pretty big scandal there. And so replacing one problematic character with another problematic character isn't necessarily advancing the relations with the United States.
Do we have any idea how long they will be meeting? And how does this work? Do they have meetings with the president himself and then other meetings with other groups within the administration? Or is this the time with government, with the U.S. government, is only with the president? How does this normally function?
It depends on the specific country, but very often there are meetings with the president and also with, and it depends on the country, but it could be the Department of Defense, the Treasury, Department of Commerce, different constituencies that would have more of a direct involvement with that country. And so it's definitely possible. The only concern or question is if the meeting with President Trump goes so poorly that things get canceled abruptly.
Ooh, yeah, like they canceled lunch. That always upsets me when they cancel lunch. Like Zelensky came all the way there for a meal, and then it just didn't even happen. But maybe that's just the Jewish part of me.
I would not. I would not wish that for President Ramaphosa. If he
No, me neither. Yeah. So we're going to have to really just wait and see how this plays out. But just before we go to our news, your sentiments are not particularly positive in terms of an outcome this week.
Correct. I mean, South Africa has placed itself on the opposite side in terms of America's allies. It's aligned itself with Russia and China. It's become Hamas's lawyer at the International Court of Justice. And so any hope of some type of transactional interaction here that would improve South Africa's standing in the United States, I think, is mistaken. And his best hope, I think, is just to go and tell his voters that he stood up to the Americans, and then somehow explain how he lost, beneficial trade relations with the United States and put itself on the opposite side of the Americans.